You know, we're talking about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Last Sunday, we gave you just kind of some really introductory thoughts about knowing Jesus. We looked at John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "I am the door," and then he said, "I am the good shepherd." And as he was talking about being the shepherd, he said, "I know my own, and my own know me. I call my sheep by name, and the sheep know me." And he says, "They will listen to my voice." So John chapter 10 makes it very clear that we have a relationship with Christ as our good shepherd. That we don't just know about him, but we know him, and we recognize his voice, and we listen to his voice. And so we asked you last Sunday three questions. Do you know Jesus? And we talked about how you come to know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. We asked you, how well do you know Jesus? And we talked some about how we can know Jesus more and know him better. And we ask you, do you know Jesus well enough to make him known? It's a pretty crucial thing. This world needs followers of Jesus Christ who don't just know some historical facts about Jesus, who don't just have some academic knowledge about Jesus, but this world needs Christ followers who walk with Jesus and know Jesus and make him known in their world. And so last Sunday we challenged you to purposefully pursue knowing Jesus more, to intentionally worship and pray and spend time in the Scriptures seeking Christ, seeking to know him more. And one more thing, to also spend time in fellowship with others who are doing the same thing, with people who know Jesus and who desire to know him more. Spending time with Jesus and spending time with other people who also know Jesus and spend time with Jesus. That's how we know him, and that's how we know him more. This morning, we're changing the focus a little bit from knowing Jesus to making him known. Making him known. We've passed out this book this morning. Tell someone you can share the gospel, the good news, by Greg Lowry. Greg Lowry is a pastor who has devoted himself to personal evangelism. He does crusades. You might call them old-fashioned crusades, kind of Billy Graham type of crusades. And they're very successful. And many people have come to know the Lord through what God is doing in and through Pastor Greg. He's written this little book to encourage us and encourage you, encourage believers everywhere to understand that sharing Christ is something we can do. It's not, sometimes we make it sound hard. Sometimes we make it sound difficult. You know, really, it comes down to purposefully, intentionally getting used to doing that. We've kind of created a culture where we just aren't used to, in the habit of, talking to people about Jesus. I remember years ago, I was eating lunch in a crowded restaurant, and the person I was with, I was talking to him about Jesus, and I was using Jesus' name in the conversation, and I noticed that the people in the crowded restaurant sitting around us were listening very closely to our conversation. And I thought about that, and I thought about it, and I came to the conclusion the one reason that was happening that way is because it was unusual to hear two people sitting at a table in a restaurant talking about Jesus. That it wasn't something people heard every day. And so they were listening to see what we were saying. People are not opposed to people talking about, yeah, there are some radical people out there that are going to get offended at the name of Jesus. There are some people that just have a dislike for the gospel message. They have a dislike for Christian people. They've kind of been fed some stuff about stereotypes and things, and they've believed it. But most people who live around us are going to be receptive to us talking to them about what we believe and asking them if we can pray for them. And so just developing the habit of asking people, hey, is there something I can pray with you for you about? Developing the habit of just talking some about Jesus. We don't have to stand on a corner and get on a soapbox and preach a message from the corners. I mean, you can do that if the Lord calls you to do it. But just have simple gospel conversations. And so this morning, as we think about making Him known, that's our focus this morning. And we're emphasizing intentional outreach this fall, encouraging you to invite other people to worship and to Bible study, encouraging you to share Jesus in our community. The goal is to make Jesus known. So listen to Matthew 28. Maybe not everybody, but most of you have heard these verses many times in your life. We've preached on them. We've done Bible studies on these verses. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Jesus came and He said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So here we have the Great Commission, as we call it. Probably very familiar to most of us. And really, we're talking about making Jesus known. As we're going to share with you some reasons that we need to do this. And the very first reason that I want us to see that why we should make Jesus known is this: I will make Jesus known to obey Him. I will make Jesus known in my circle of influence, among the people that I meet, the people that I know. I'm going to do what I can to make Jesus known in order to obey Jesus. You see, making Jesus known to our family and friends and neighbors, to the co-workers and fellow students, and even strangers that we meet, it's all about obeying Jesus. The Great Commission is Christ's command. The Great Commission is Christ's command. Look at what He says. Before He says, go make disciples, He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, why do you think before Jesus says to the disciples, go and make disciples, why do you think he speaks to them about authority? He is emphasizing that He is to be obeyed. That they are to do what He says. That they are to hear His words as command. All authority has been given to me. Jesus didn't want to be misunderstood here. He's not making a suggestion. He's not just laying down a strategy that we can take or leave. He is telling the disciples, and He is telling the church, and He's speaking to us, and He's telling us, He's speaking to us with the authority, all authority, as He says this to us. He's speaking as Lord, and He's speaking as God. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, obey, teaching them to obey and observe all that I have commanded you. The Great Commission is Christ's command. Yes, to the apostles who were there that day when he was speaking to them. It's also his command to the church, and it's his command to all followers of Jesus, to all believers. It's his command to all of us. Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey all my commands that I have given you, including this command to go and make disciples. It's Christ's command. The Great Commission is our calling. It is our calling. Jesus set this task aside for the church. He called the church, the assembled, the called out assembly is what the word church means. The called out assembly. He has called us out of the world into the church to take up his task and his mission. So we'll make Jesus known in order to obey him, because the Great Commission is Christ's command and the Great Commission is our calling. We'll also see this second reason. I will make Jesus known to grow his kingdom. Obeying the Great Commission is about being kingdom believers, kingdom followers of Jesus Christ, about understanding that our relationship with Christ, it is a personal relationship. It is a relationship we have individually with Christ, but we are also a part of the kingdom. We are a part of the church. We are connected. We are networked in Christ, okay? Together. And he's brought us into his kingdom to grow his kingdom. You see, the Great Commission is Christ's command and it's our calling, but also this, the Great Commission is God's plan. To what? To grow the kingdom, to grow his kingdom. It is God's plan to reach the nations. This week is our week of prayer for state missions. It's a week we have every year. It's an offering we take every year in September. And this offering supplements and augments and helps fill in some of the gaps that from our ongoing offerings. We have this great thing, a Southern Baptist, called the Cooperative Program. And we take every offering that comes, it's every non-designated offering. Now, if you give a dollar for Lottie Moon, it doesn't go to the Cooperative Program. If you give a dollar for the building program here, it doesn't go into the Cooperative Program. But your budget tithes and offerings, every gift you give, our church gives, I think it's 12% right now, of every offering goes to the Cooperative Program. How's that getting dispersed out of all of the seminaries and all of the missionaries and all of the things that Cooperative Program funds? How does that money that you give, that we give to the Cooperative, how does it get where it goes? Well, the first place it goes is to the IBSA, Illinois Baptist State Association. And it funds their budget, which is around $6-7 million. And it funds the salaries of the IBSA staff, and it funds ministries, and it funds church planners that are starting new churches in the state of Illinois. And it funds campus ministers who are sharing the gospel on the campuses of our colleges and universities in the state of Illinois. And it funds other ministries and tasks that IBSA plans, strategizes, and directs. And then they take their part of that and they send the rest of it to the executive board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And then they divide that up between the seminaries, the International Mission Board, and the North American Mission Board. And we are supporting, through the Cooperative Program, all of those ministries and all of those missions. But the Illinois State Mission Offering fills in some of the gaps. And it's designated for things like church planters and campus ministers. And this month, as we watch these videos, we'll see some of the things that the mission offering accomplishes and does. But it's part of God's plan. That's part of the Great Commission. This is God's plan for reaching our Jerusalem and our Judea, our community and our state or region, to tell people about Jesus. And then as they believe and become disciples themselves, as we baptize them and teach them to do the same thing, make disciples. Make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's the Great Commission, and it's God's plan. So the Great Commission is God's plan, but it's also our opportunity. The Great Commission is our opportunity. It's a command, but it's an opportunity to be part of God's great mission. The great adventure, if you will, of rescuing, of delivering, of redeeming this lost world. Only Jesus has the power to save. But He has called us into this great adventure of sharing His story, the gospel good news, with all that we can, with all, every way that we can, through our prayers, through our gifts, through our own voices, our own witness, our own story. It's God's plan, and it's our opportunity to make Jesus known. And so, we're going to make Jesus known in order to obey Him, and we're going to make Jesus known in order to be a part of the kingdom of God being grown. But folks, there's more. Also, I hope we can see this. I will make Jesus known because people need Him. I will make Jesus known because people need Him. Without Jesus, without the gospel, without the cross, people are lost and dead in their sins. You know, it's not a very politically correct thing to say today. I was doing some reading, and I read something that another pastor had written. He was talking to his church, and they were a part of a conference that was coming up in their city about sharing the gospel with the Jewish people in their community. And several other large, prominent churches, the pastors of those churches, I think there were 9 of them, wrote this pastor a letter rebuking him for his church being involved in sharing the gospel to Jews. And they said it's offensive to suggest that these Jewish people need to give their life to Jesus Christ. And they were networking with a Jewish rabbi who was also making that voice heard in that large city, in that community. And there was some Muslim Muslim imams who were involved in that. And there was this group of people from other faith, some calling themselves Christians, some Jews, some Muslim, other faith, saying, what's wrong with these Christians? Telling people they need to be Christians. What is wrong with these followers of Jesus? Saying that we all need Jesus. So, it's not a politically correct thing to say to our communities, people who don't know Jesus need Jesus. But it's the truth. They need Jesus. And the reason they need Jesus is because without Jesus, without the gospel, without the cross, people are lost and they are dead in their sins. And that's what's offensive to people. They become offended when we say that people are dead in their sins. They become offended when we say they are lost without Christ. But it is the desperate truth that needs desperately to be heard. People all around us need Jesus because hell is real. Hell is real. And there are many religious people in this world who are very well intentioned in their beliefs and in their traditions and in what they practice, who are going to find out that hell is real because they don't know Jesus. And there are people in our community. Some of them are our family members. Some of them are our friends. Some of them are our neighbors. We work with them and we go to school with them, and they need Jesus. And hell is real, and they're going to end up there if they don't know Jesus. Church, comprehend that truth. Understand that truth. Hell is real, and Jesus is the answer. It's the only name under heaven by which man can be saved. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And we can try to be sensitive, and we can try to be, we need to be open-minded towards these people. And we can, out of trying to be polite, we can just let them politely go to hell. Now, we don't need to, we're not supposed to be mean. We're not supposed to be jerks. We're not supposed to be hypercritical, condemning and judgmental towards people. But we need to be loving and compassionate towards them with the good news that Jesus has died for them and that He is the rescue and the Redeemer that they need. And so we need to make Jesus known, because Jesus, because people need Jesus. And then we need to be people who say, "I will make Jesus known because I love Him. I will make Jesus known because I love Him." In Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. A man, they come, they ask Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse 36, Matthew 22, 36. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." The great commandment is to love God supremely. The great commandment is to love God supremely. And when we love God supremely, and we love Him with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind, we want other people to know Him too. We've discovered, so we have something new in our family. I've never heard of it before. Some of you may have known about this for a long time. I don't know how long it's been out there. We have something new in our family. It's called Marco Polo. Does anybody have a Marco Polo app? I'm getting a couple of hands up there. Some of you know who it is. One of our daughters sent a text message to their mom. I think what she did was, I think she opened the app on her phone, and I think the app sent a text message to her mom and said, "Download this app so I can send you a video." And Pam did. And it sent a message to everybody. Not everybody, but it sent a message to many of the people on her contact list. Same thing. It said, "I got a message from her." It said, "Hi, this is Pam. Please download this app so I can send you a video message." I'm thinking, hey, we can video on our phones already. Why do I need to do that? And I sent her a text back. I said, "You know you've got a video texting on your phone already, you know." And I wonder, what in the world is she wanting to send me? Well, so we've got this new thing. We've got a family group. Pam and I, both our daughters, our son-in-laws, Brett, you know, we're all in this group. Every day I get videos of my grandchildren. It's wonderful. Every day my daughters take videos of their three-year-olds and the cute things they say and the cute things they do. And sometimes they're looking at the phone saying, "Hi, Grandpa." And sometimes they're just doing stuff. It's wonderful. I've got a video on my phone of Max doing push-ups, okay? He's 9 weeks old, 2 months and a week maybe. He's laying on his belly. He's got his hands here. He's got a head on. He's trying to do it. He doesn't get up, but he's trying to do a push-up. I've got videos of Caroline laughing and smiling, and it's great. And I love these grandkids, and I will show you these videos if you will stand still long enough for me to show them to you. Some of you have seen some of these videos. When we love people, when we love someone, we want other people to know about them. We want other people to see them. We want other people to come to know them also. And if we love God supremely, we are going to want other people to know about Him. And we're going to talk about Him. We're going to say, "My God is great. Look at what God did in my life this week. Look at what God did when He saved me from my sins. Look at who God is and what He does." And we'll do the same thing. We will talk about Jesus. And we will talk about His love. And we will talk about His grace. And we will make Him known. The great commandment is to love God supremely. And we will make Jesus known because we love Him. Now, that's not all it said there in Matthew 22. Jesus said, this is the great and first commandment. And then He said this in verse 39, verse 40. "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment is to love God supremely. The second is to love our neighbor. And when we love God, we obey God. When we love God, we serve in His kingdom. And that includes loving our neighbor. When we love God, we have a desire to love our neighbors and to grow in that love for God and a love for our neighbors. And part of what it means to love our neighbors is that we tell them about Jesus, because hell is real and because Jesus is the answer. And so we share Jesus and we make Him known because we love Him. One more thing. And you can probably think of some other very good reasons that you should be making Jesus known. Just one more thing this morning. I will make Jesus known for His glory. I will make Jesus known for His glory. The first duty of man is to glorify God. The first duty of man is to live for God's glory. God created us to live for His purposes. God created us to be in a relationship with Him that will glorify Him. The first duty of man is to live for God's glory. And so we love Him because He first loved us. And when we share Jesus and we make Him known and others come into the kingdom, it's to the glory of God. Spreading His fame and His glory into other hearts, growing the kingdom, brings glory to God. But you know what? When that happens, our joy is increased. We may be making Jesus known for His glory, but making Jesus known increases my joy. Making Jesus known increases the joy of believers. There are a lot of Christian people who are living their lives kind of bogged down, not really experiencing the joy of the Lord in their lives. There can be a lot of things that are factors there, and we have sin that we're not confessing to God. It's going to have a negative impact on our joy. And if we have purposes where we just haven't really bought into God's will and we're still clinging to our agenda, that's going to limit our joy in the Lord. But I really believe that one of the things that is limiting the joy of the Lord in the church and in believers' lives is that we just are not experiencing the joy of helping other people come to know Christ. Only Jesus can save. You cannot save someone. When you share the gospel, you have no control over whether or not they trust Christ. But let me tell you something. When you share Jesus and someone comes to know Christ, there is a great increase in your joy in walking with the Lord. And I know I've told you this story before, but I will never forget preaching a sermon in Junction, Illinois, and this white-haired 70-year-old plus something lady who had just a few years before had been confined to a wheelchair, watched a little boy walk down the aisle and give his life to Jesus, and that little lady got at least that high off the floor, jumping and shouting with joy because the little boy she invited to the revival service got saved. And we are missing the joy of letting God include us in the great privilege of making Jesus known. I will make Jesus known for His glory. Making Jesus known increases my joy, and making Jesus known increases God's glory. One of the reasons making Jesus known increases our joy is because when we love God, we love it when He is glorified and when His glory is increased. Will you read this little book? Tell someone. As you seek to know Jesus and know Him more, will you seek to make Him known for His glory, for the glory of our God, our Savior, for the glory of His kingdom? Know Jesus and make Him known. Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank You that we are a part of Your kingdom, a part of Your church. We thank You.